Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
And happy Friday. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Friday. I'm your host, Jay Cruz. It's a little after 11 a.m. Pacific time, Friday, the 25th of October. First of all, I want to thank Sharky Zartman, my guest on the last couple episodes of Fantasy Sports Friday. She, of course, does the show before this one each and every Friday. And as you heard last week and the week before, quite an extensive history in sports herself. It was a lot of fun to have her on, and always kind of cool to have some of the other Healthy Life hosts on the show, sit here and produce their shows, talk a lot off air, and get to know a lot about our various hosts, and it's kind of cool to invite them onto a show and talk about the many things that we talk about in between during the commercials as they play or setting up and then wrapping up a show. So if you didn't check that show out, you can always go to the HealthyLife.net homepage, find the podcast on-demand link, and give it a listen. And send her an email, too, and tell her how much you enjoyed the show. We definitely had a lot of fun doing that program. Well, coming up tonight, if you're listening live, if you're listening Saturday, today will be Game 2 of the Fall Classic, the World Series. It's been quite a while since the Yankees and Dodgers have met in the World Series, although they met something like 12 times in the past. Of course, the most intriguing times, at least in my memory, was back in the 70s and early 80s when the Yankees and Dodgers met in back-to-back World Series, and then in the early 80s, that one was won by the Dodgers in the early 80s, the Yankees winning in the 70s. Of course, there was the Reggie Jackson three-home run performance. That was, well, still one of the most epic performances in World Series history. And, you know, in 1981, the Dodgers with Fernando Valenzuela, who sadly just passed away this past weekend at the age of 63. He was involved with the Dodgers organization as a Spanish-language broadcaster, which, quite honestly, you know, the Dodgers' Spanish broadcasts have almost as much of a legacy as Vin Scully when he was doing the basic English broadcast. He, of course, had been the voice of the Dodgers since they moved from Brooklyn. And their Spanish broadcasting team has been together for quite some time. So sad to see Fernando passing away. And the Dodgers will be wearing a commemorative patch to honor Fernando. His number 34 will be seen on patches on the Dodgers uniform. So, Yankees-Dodgers will be starting Game 1 tonight and best-of-seven series. The first two will be in Los Angeles. The middle three will be in New York. And the final two, if necessary, back here in Los Angeles. Now, for what it's worth, tonight in Los Angeles, first of all, it's Friday. L.A. is notorious for its world-famous gnarly traffic, although other cities do have traffic, too. I'm not saying it's an exclusive L.A. thing, but L.A. County is the biggest county in the United States, and we have over 10 million people, and everyone drives their own car. We've got 10 million people and 9.5 million people on the road driving by themselves, not carpooling, not taking other people, and they got to get to different places. The game tonight at Dodger Stadium, if you're unfamiliar with Los Angeles, and if you don't live here, why would you be? But the Highway 101, which you pretty much will have to take to get Dodger Stadium, is going to be a challenge tonight. It's a little bit after 11 a.m. I would suggest if you're going to the game, hopefully you're not working, and you don't have to wait till the whistle blows at 5 p.m. to get on the road. That's when the game starts, 5 o'clock Pacific time, so you'll certainly miss that. But If you're not on the road by, I would say, 1 p.m., 2 p.m., you're going to be listening to a little bit of the game on the radio. Let's see. We have the Dodgers game going on tonight. Also, University of Southern California, the USC Trojans, will be hosting, I believe, the Scarlet Knights of Rutgers tonight. And that'll be at the L.A. Coliseum, which is also right on the 101, about 5 or 6 miles away from the exit you need to take to Dodger Stadium. Now, that 5 or 6 miles anywhere else in the world, you'd probably get there even with traffic in a decent amount of time. That 5 or 6 miles with L.A. Dodger traffic, commute traffic, and USC football traffic, I don't even want to think about it. That's going to be a snail's crawl at best, and even getting into either of those places, quite challenging. Now, also going on, if that wasn't enough, the city of Inglewood has gone under quite a renovation in the last number of years. Obviously, when the St. Louis Rams decided to become the Los Angeles Rams once again, they played at the LA Coliseum for a couple seasons, and their owner, Stan Kroenke, had put up the money to build their own new stadium. Now, there was a very rainy season, which halted the construction of SoFi Stadium, which is quite an amazing stadium. It's state-of-the-art, and it's just a beautiful stadium. It's very well designed. It's kind of covered. It's kind of air-conditioned. The field is below sea level. They had to do that because the stadium is directly in the flight path of, well, one of the biggest international airports, Los Angeles International Airport. So they had to put the field below ground level quite a bit to not be disturbed by the airplane traffic. So the Rams play there. They rent out space to the Chargers, who also play there, and the occasional other event will happen. They've had concerts, and they have other football games. There's the California Bowl, which will be taking place in December. I forget what teams play in that, but a couple college teams get a reward at the end of the season and play that. And tonight, there will be a couple local high school teams playing in that. A couple teams, I believe, from East L.A., or not sure if that, or a couple of the bigger teams in high school football will be playing tonight at SoFi Stadium. Now, that is also in the path to Dodger Stadium and the USC home at the L.A. Memorial Coliseum, built for the Olympics back in the 1930s. So, the city of Inglewood will have a football game going on at SoFi Stadium. And also in the past couple years, there's been more construction in the city of Inglewood. There was the renovation of the Forum, which has now been rebranded as the Kia Forum. You can thank the artist formerly known as Prince for having a big hand in that. About 10 years ago, he did a residency and played about 20 shows in about a 4 to 6 week period at the Forum. And in the meantime, you know, he also played a lot of surprise shows at clubs, but, you know, that got the interest in the Forum, and they sort of reinvented that from the days that the Lakers and the Kings and the Clippers all played there. Although the Clippers might have been at the LA Sports Arena and not at the Forum. They moved into the Staples Center, which is now the Crypto.com Arena. And, oh yeah, NBA season is open, so there will be a Laker game going on tonight. Also, Staples Center, not far from the 101, not far from the LA Memorial Coliseum, and on the way to Dodger Stadium. So that'll be happening as Lakers and the NBA have also opened their season. And the Clippers, their owner, Steve Ballmer, he's got a lot of Microsoft money laying around. He's, I don't know, he's like one of the 20 richest people in the world, or certainly in America. He paid $2 billion to by the L.A. Clippers off former owner Donald Sterling, who was kind of, hand was sort of forced in selling the team, and the league tried to make them viable, but that's a whole other story. He decided, since he's got money, like Stan Kroenke, he went ahead and ordered construction for a new arena. It has been named the Intuit Dome. It is in Inglewood, California, right next to SoFi Stadium, and a little down the road from the fabulous Forum. So, you got a football game tonight, a couple big high school teams playing at SoFi Stadium. At the Intuit Dome, the home of the Clippers, David Gilmour, guitarist and vocalist of Pink Floyd, is playing. And at the Kia Forum, which is a little less than a mile away from the Intuit Dome and right next to SoFi Stadium, Jeff Lynne of ELO, Electric Light Orchestra, is also playing. So you got two major concerts and a major football game going on just in Englewood. So that's three big situations in Englewood. And you got the USC Trojans playing, you've got the Lakers playing, and World Series. That is six major events, all within a 5 to 10 mile radius of each other, and most of them right off of the Highway 101. Anyway, unless you have tickets and are leaving early, might be a good night to stay home and watch these events on television. Just saying. Uber drivers will be in high demand. Uber prices will probably be super high, and traffic will be at a standstill for most of the night. So that's just what's happening locally. Moving on to the World Series and the soup and nuts about what's happening there. Yankees, Dodgers, obviously you would guess the networks are very happy, especially Fox Network. That's where the games will be televised. You got the two biggest television markets, the Yankees and Dodgers, maybe the two most popular teams, and quite a bit of history. And the way the season played out, they were the two best teams. Dodgers with the best record in baseball, best record in the National League. That's why they get the one-game home field advantage if Game 7 is to happen. And the Yankees have the best record in the American League, only two wins less than the Dodgers. Dodgers had 98 wins during the regular season. Yankees had 96. So, or maybe it was 96, 94. I can't remember exactly, but Yankees two wins less than the LA Dodgers throughout the season. The Dodgers are a slight favorite overall to win the World Series. Not by much. It's a pretty close series, and I'm expecting this one to go at least to six or seven games. I think they're going to play two in L.A. They'll play the three in New York and be back for game six and maybe seven in Los Angeles. Taking a look at the way that the teams match up, both teams are loaded with superstars. Both teams should be. They have two of the four highest payrolls in the major league. I think the Mets and Padres are also in the top four as far as spending the most money. And they had a pretty good run, both those teams. Mets and Padres both were defeated by the Dodgers in the playoffs. The Padres kind of got under the Dodgers' skin as they've sort of been creating a bit of a rivalry lately. And, you know, there was a lot of people hoping that New York would get a Subway Series as they had in the early 2000s when the Mets and Yankees had a Subway Series back then. But to no avail. It's a West Coast, East Coast, L.A. versus New York World Series. Now you also have the two potential Major League Baseball MVP candidates, Aaron Judge, home run hitter, center fielder extraordinaire for the New York Yankees, and Shohei Ohtani, the amazing player from Japan who has been compared to Babe Ruth as far as being someone who can pitch and hit with the level that he does. He didn't pitch this year because he had Tommy John surgery the second time he's had Tommy John surgery, even though he's maybe back to being able to pitch. The Dodgers have promised he will not pitch during the World Series. They have him on the shelf until next year. He had an incredible season, did things that no other player in baseball history has done, namely the 55-55 number he was able to reach. I'm talking stolen bases and home runs by the same player in the same season. Jose Canseco set the bar a number of years ago with the 40-40 season, 40 home runs, 40 stolen bases. And I'm not sure, but I think Alex Rodriguez might have also got that or was close to it. At one time, Sean Green, former outfielder of the Dodgers, had 35 home runs, 35 stolen bases. Not 40-40. I remember mentioning that to Jose Canseco when I met him, and he kind of scoffed at it. And, 35 ain't 40. Well, 40 ain't 55, Jose. So Shohei Ohtani, with an amazing season, 55 home runs, 55 stolen bases. I think it was like he ended up with like 57 homers, 58 steals. You know, enough to get 55 of each. So just an amazing season from him. And Aaron Judge had like 57 homers. He had, you know, 60 a couple seasons ago. So, you know, those two are must-see TV and people you don't want to miss when they're coming up to bat. So on the Yankees side, who else do they have who can slug the baseball? Well, Giancarlo Stanton, he's a little older, but he's been nailing it in the playoffs. He has hit big home runs for the Yankees, helped them come back late, hitting big home runs, winning games, and also Juan Soto, who hit the World Series berth clinching home run just about a week ago when the Yankees went to extra innings with the Cleveland baseball team known as the Guardians, formerly the Indians. So you got Juan Soto, you got Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton on the Yankees. On the Dodgers home run hitters, you got Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts, and Freddie Freeman has been dealing with some injuries, but he's got a lot of power as well. We've got a lot of bench players on both teams that step up in these big moments. One person I'm looking at to do that is my favorite player on the Dodgers, Kike Hernandez. Now, he doesn't exactly get the biggest statistics during the regular season. He's kind of average as far as his, you know, if you look at his numbers throughout the regular season, he hits about 240. You know, a dozen or so home runs, 50 or so RBIs, the occasional stolen base. He can play literally every position on the field. He's even pitched in, you know, blowout losses so far this year. A couple times when the Dodgers were just getting shellacked and didn't want to tax their bullpen because the bullpen wasn't really going to save much for the team in those particular losses. And he has also performed quite well in big home runs in the playoffs, even though he's not one of the big headline names. So literally every player in the lineup for both the Yankees and Dodgers is going to be a dangerous hitter and a tough out for the pitching staffs. Now, that's where I think the Yankees have a slight edge. Both teams have a lot of offense, so the Yankees have the better pitching staff. And, of course, this is going to the Dodgers pitchers this year have had a lot of injuries. Clayton Kershaw, not even active. He's been hurt most of the year. In fact, you kind of wonder how much longer he's going to be pitching, quite frankly, with the amount of injuries that have been stacking up later on in his career. Also, the Dodgers rookie sensation Gavin Stone, he's been shut down since the end of September, about the last week in the season. There was Tyler Glasnow, who they acquired at the beginning of the season from Tampa Bay. He's on the shelf. Tony Gonsolin was another guy. He's on the shelf. Walker Buehler has been back and had a couple rough outings since he came back, but then turned things around and has been effective. He has had two Tommy John surgeries that he's recovered from, but he has playoff experience and might be the best potential playoff experience pitcher for the Dodgers. They will be going with Jack Flaherty in Game 1. He's been fairly good in the playoffs, did have a loss, but also has a couple of wins. So, and then the bullpen for the Dodgers did fairly well during the playoffs against the Mets, actually stepped up and helped them get over that series. So the Yankees have not had as many injuries to starting pitchers, and Luke Weaver, their ace relief pitcher, has been pretty red hot down the playoffs and down the stretch getting into the playoffs, and pitching very well for the Yankees. I think the Yankees, while they are a slight underdog in the World Series, have a slight advantage with a healthier pitching staff. I think both teams are fairly even offensively. It's going to come down to whose pitching can stop the other team's hitting. And that's basic baseball. That hasn't changed since you played it as a little leaguer back when you were 7. The game has not changed so much when it comes to that. Good pitching will always stop good hitting. And it's going to be a fun World Series. I am looking forward to it. The best two teams in baseball are here. The two biggest teams in baseball are here. And the series will kick off tonight. I'm Jay Cruz, Fantasy Sports Friday. It's time for a quick break. We're going to come back and talk about the NFL season. Maybe take a look at some happenings in fantasy football when we come back right after this.
Thank you. You know, when my grandson takes a long car trip, he listens to audiobooks. A long drive seems faster, and sometimes he doesn't want to get out of the car because the book isn't finished. With over 100,000 books, Audible.com is one of the best places to get audiobooks. You can listen to a bestseller anytime, anywhere. Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of audiobooks. Join millions of listeners. Just go to the Audible.com on HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Roku is like having your own video library with over 300,000 choices. And it's the best way to get Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and so much more. There's a Roku player for every budget, so go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Roku banner.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
And welcome back, Fantasy Sports Friday, here on HealthyLife.net Radio. I'm Jay Cruz, your host. We do the show each Friday, 11 a.m. Pacific Time. It also replays Saturdays at 9 a.m. Pacific Time and is available on demand. And coming up, just talked a little bit about the World Series. That's going to be taking place starting tonight and going through till next weekend. Hopefully no rain delays. We've had some pretty warm weather here in Southern California. Although it's starting to chill a little bit, but it still should be clear for the games to happen. And it's interesting when you get to this time of the year, the umpires kind of let things go a little bit when it comes to, yeah, we got to get this game played, as opposed to, you know, the regular season where, you know, clouds are in the sky and there's a little bit of rain. I'm going to postpone that till the next available date. So chances are should be clear weather for all the games. Last night, Thursday night football, the Minnesota Vikings were in L.A., taking on the L.A. Rams, who have now won two in a row. The Rams, a bit of a shock, knocking out the Vikings last night, 30-20. Minnesota was undefeated heading into last Sunday's game against the Detroit Lions, and they are up early in that game, and Detroit came back. This game, they were tied at the halftime, and the Rams ending up going ahead 30-20. And also had a couple players come back for the Rams. Cooper Kupp was available, as was Puka Nacua, the two star wide receivers who have both been hurt the entire season. It was the first time they had both players available. Puka Nacua turning in a pretty big game for the Rams. Minnesota now with a couple losses. They'll need to kind of take a look at things and figure out where to continue on from here. With Minnesota, they've been one of the surprise teams of the season. First of all, Sam Darnold, who, you know, came out of USC, was a number one draft pick of the Jets, and, you know, that's just a bad team, bad organization. So he escaped from New York, ended up with Carolina, which isn't much better, and spent a year last year with the 49ers, learning with Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy, and was probably thinking, you know, I think I'm a better quarterback than Brock, but I'm going to have to wait my turn. So he signed with the Vikings, even though the Vikings had drafted J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan as their number one pick. I think he was number 6 overall in the draft. Well, J.J. decided to go out and blow out his knee in the first game in preseason against the Las Vegas Raiders, and Sam Darnold has stepped up and has been playing quite well, leading to wonder what Minnesota's going to do next year already. Will they keep Sam Darnold and extend him, or will they turn things over to the young J.J. McCarthy, who they spent a high draft pick on? Likely, they'll probably go with the younger McCarthy and let Darnold go to free agency. I think that would be a mistake, because Darnold is playing very good, with the exception of the last two losses. So that'll be a long-term thing for Minnesota to consider. But the NFC North is an incredible division right now. Obviously, it was predicted to be pretty strong with Detroit at 5-1. Even with Minnesota in a two-game losing streak, they're still at 5-2. They started pretty hot at 5-0. Green Bay Packers are at 5-2. And the Chicago Bears are 4-2. They just came off their bye week after a victory in England the week before against the Jacksonville Jaguars. So that entire division is playing very, very well and looks to be the strongest division in the league right now. I think when the Bears drafted Caleb Williams out of USC, I think a lot of people thought they would be at least the number three team in the division, and that still might happen. But right now, it's definitely going to be a tight race. Detroit and Green Bay were both in the playoffs last year, and both had good performances against the 49ers, eventually to lose, but are both actually doing better than the 49ers this year. Don't look now, but the 49ers are actually in last place in the NFC West at 3-4. The Rams and Cardinals are also 3-4. Ironically, those two teams have beat the 49ers this year. 49ers with a lot of injuries. The one team they beat in the division was Seattle, who is currently at the top at 4-3. But the NFC North, you know, everyone thought it would be everyone but Minnesota going to the playoffs. We'll see what happens by the end of the season. So coming up this week on the slate of games, Sunday, there will be no game from Europe this Sunday. So if you've been getting up early to watch those games, you can go ahead and sleep in again on Sunday. Not so early on the East Coast at 9:30, but on the West Coast, starting a game at 6:30, not quite awake just yet. And when the game is Jacksonville and New England, it's fine to just sleep on in. Nonetheless, the New York Jets and New England Patriots will play in New England on Sunday. The Jets, well, last couple weeks, a lot of activity going on. They fired coach Robert Saleh, who is now working with his friend Matt LaFleur as a consultant with the Green Bay Packers. I don't think you should be able to hire a coach after they've been fired, but the league has different rules. So he is out of there, and the Jets also made a trade for disgruntled Las Vegas wide receiver Davante Adams. Now, Davante Adams, he requested a trade from Green Bay a couple seasons ago. Wanted to play with his college quarterback, Derek Carr, in Las Vegas. Las Vegas gave up a first and second round pick to Green Bay to get Davante Adams. And it didn't quite work out to his or Las Vegas' liking. They turned the page and let Derek Carr go in Adams' first season. And the second season, in which they eventually fired coach Josh McDaniels midway through the season, replaced him with Antonio Pierce, who is now the head coach of the Raiders. Anyway, a couple weeks into the season, and Davante Adams, like, I want out of here. He was disappointed that they didn't go out and get, well, Jaden Daniels, who would have been a great pick. Coach Pierce wanted him too, but the asking price to make that selection was considered too high. So the Raiders tried to make do with Aiden O'Connell, who was okay last year. He's currently injured for about 4 to 6 weeks with a broken thumb. They signed Gardner Minshew, who has been a little bit of a veteran journeyman in the league, and he hasn't really set the league on fire, quarterback in Las Vegas. So Davante Adams is now back with his other quarterback buddy, Aaron Rodgers, with the Jets. And ironically, Adams with the Raiders, they lost to the Steelers, and the following week the Jets lost to the Steelers 2 weeks in a row. So the Jets are a team desperately looking for a change, considering all the pressure and all the eggs are in one basket for them to make things happen this year. They're 2-5 and desperately need something to start their season in a positive direction if they're going to save this season. You know, personally, Aaron Rodgers has some skills left, but not everybody is Tom Brady or LeBron James and can continue to play at a high level into their 40s. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is on their level, and it's starting to show. Nonetheless, they have a chance to turn things around. They play the New England Patriots this week, and the Jets are favored on the road by 7 points. The Patriots' defense is okay. Their offense is really bad. So the Jets have a good defense and should be able to shut down New England in this game. Also on Sunday, the Philadelphia Eagles are sort of turning things around. They, you know, hit a wall at the end of last season and struggled down the stretch. But they're turning things around. They're 4-2, and they'll visit the Cincinnati Bengals this week. The Bengals are still under 500 after losing their first three games of the season. They are 3-1 since those first few games. The Bengals always kind of seem to start slow. This year they've had more injuries, and it's just been a little bit rough for them coming out of the gate. This should be an interesting game. Cincinnati is favored by 2.5 points over the Eagles Sunday morning. Did mention the Green Bay Packers a few moments ago. A lot of people thought they could be a sexy Super Bowl pick to get into the big game this year. Quarterback Jordan Love, who sat behind Aaron Rodgers for a couple seasons, was an understudy. Definitely performed last year very well, helped get the Packers into the playoffs, and has missed the last couple weeks with a bit of an injury. He came back last week against Houston and looked really good. They will take on the Jacksonville Jaguars in Florida. Jacksonville coming back from a couple games in London as part of the NFL's wanting to expand the league to other countries. Anyway, the Jaguars will host Green Bay. The Packers are favored by 4 on the road this Sunday with Jordan Love back in the fold. The Tennessee Titans might be the worst team in the NFL this season. They're 1-5. They don't seem to have anything really to tune in for. Derrick Henry left for free agency to the Baltimore Ravens. He's doing well. And their quarterback, Will Levis, didn't exactly light the league on fire last year in some spot starts and hasn't really done much this season as a full-time starter. I think Mason Rudolph, former Pittsburgh Steeler, either started or played a significant amount of time last week for the Titans. They're 1-5, and they will take on the Detroit Lions, who are heavily favored by 11 points Sunday against the Titans. Now, for what it's worth, I'm not really rooting for the Titans in any way, shape, or form. They fired Coach Mike Vrabel last year, who was, by all accounts, a very solid player type of coach. He had experience as a player with the New England Patriots, as a Super Bowl-winning linebacker. And the guy they replaced him with is the, can't remember his first name, but he's the son of former Raiders head coach Brian Callahan. Now, the reason I'm not a fan of Mr. Callahan is the way he handled the Raiders in the Super Bowl against Tampa Bay. You can watch on YouTube. There's players from the Raiders who think he purposely did some things to not win that game. Nonetheless, accusations. Players thought he had done some strange things, questionable moves, changing the game plan 3 days before the Super Bowl, and had not changed the audibles during the season, which former coach John Gruden knew what they were because he designed them. So it was just really incompetence for that coach not to change anything. But somehow he's still been in the league, and now his son is head coach of the Titans. So I think that franchise is going to be cursed until they come up with an actual head coach instead of the Callahan family running that team. I'm looking forward to Detroit putting up some big numbers against the Titans this weekend. A couple weeks ago, it was a Thursday night game. Tampa Bay visited the Atlanta Falcons, and it kind of went down to the wire, with Tampa Bay losing at the end. Atlanta Falcons will visit the Buccaneers this Sunday. That'll be on the early window, 10 a.m. Pacific time, 1 o'clock Eastern time, and the Buccaneers will try to rewrite the ship and get a season split with the Atlanta Falcons. I did mention the Arizona Cardinals, talking about everyone in the NFC West and the division that's basically everyone is 3-4. The Cardinals are going to have an interesting game. They'll visit the Miami Dolphins this week. The reasons it's going to be interesting, it'll be the first game Tua Tagovailoa is back for Miami. Now, he's kind of become the poster boy for concussions currently in the National Football League. The season before last season, he had He had at least two concussions, one of which that the you're not sure if the team tried to hide it or if the league tried to hide it. They called it a neck injury, but he was obviously dazed and confused and then got another concussion the following week. And a couple weeks ago, it was a Monday night game, Miami against Buffalo, and Tua was running, as he does. He's a mobile quarterback. He put his head down and ran right into DeMar Hamlin, of all people, who was knocked unconscious and might have even been more than unconscious in the netherworld a couple of seasons ago in the Monday night game when he got ran into in the chest by a running back of the Cincinnati Bengals, and the impact, you know, put him into cardiac arrest right there on the field. You know, of course, the National Football League would not mention the fact that they required players to be vaccinated and his heart stopped, and of course, they're not going to bring anything up about that, but that might have been closer to the truth than the freak hitting the heart directly accident, although that is a possibility as well. So DeMar Hamlin, of all people, was the guy whose chest knocked Tua Tagovailoa into a concussion. Well, Tua's coming back, and I think everybody that's on the fence about professional football or football, tackle football at any level, knowing that the elephant in the room is the CTE, which is the shortened version for basically having your brain knocked into oblivion from head trauma, from concussions, cardio, without the name written in front of me, it's cardioencephalitis, it's CTE is what it's called, and it's basically the results of concussion. And a lot of people thought Tua should hang it up and, you know, preserve his still young life for the future. But he's going to be playing. He said he won't be wearing the Guardian cap, which is a new thing that has been used in preseason football and practice before the season starts. And there's a handful of players who do wear them. It's kind of hard to tell because they've come up with a way to color the extra padding that goes around the helmet to look like it's just a part of the helmet. So anyway, Tua said he won't be wearing the Guardian cap, and Miami is 2-4 and desperately would like for him to perform well, be healthy, stay healthy, and if nothing else, a victory over the Arizona Cardinals this weekend. The Baltimore Ravens will visit the Cleveland Browns. Baltimore started the season ice cold, losing their first two games. They've won five in a row since. Derrick Henry is starting to pay big dividends, the free agent signing from Tennessee, one of the better running backs in the NFL. Lamar Jackson, one of the top four or five quarterbacks in the NFL, especially with his mobility. And the Ravens have a five-game winning streak. They're going to take on the Cleveland Browns. Now the Browns, I'm just going to say, they've got some interesting karma. When they signed Deshaun Watson a couple seasons ago, he came with a lot of baggage. He had been suspended by the league for a year due to his off-the-field extracurricular activity and the accusations by some 40 individuals of him. The Cleveland Browns decided, you know, let's just look and forget all about all those off-the-season, off-the-field issues. In fact, we're going to sign him to the biggest free agent contract at that time in sports history. And since then, every quarterback whose contract comes up gets a little or more money than Deshaun Watson. Cleveland really screwed things up for future quarterbacks by paying so high. I think every other owner in the league is not so secretly angry at the Browns for doing that. And what do you know? Deshaun Watson has been a shell of his former self. He is nowhere near the quarterback that he was. And he's now injured, so he's going to be out for the rest of the season. Cleveland also went most of the year without him. But they had Joe Flacco, who they picked up off the street late in the season. He was technically their fourth-string quarterback last year. And they don't have him now. He's a member of the Indianapolis Colts, which we'll talk about in just a moment. But Baltimore, of course, if you do or don't remember, they are the franchise formerly known as the Cleveland Browns. Art Modell, who has since passed away, wanted a new stadium in Cleveland, and he wanted the folks of Cleveland to pay for it. Unlike Stan Kroenke, who reached into his own billionaire pockets to build SoFi Stadium, or Steve Ballmer, the L.A. Clippers owner, who did the same to build his stadium right next door to Kroenke's, in Englewood. Nonetheless, the Ravens moved to Cleveland. Cleveland said, we want all of the team's history to stay in Cleveland. The Browns franchise is historic, and the next time there's an expansion team coming up, we would like to be that city and team. So the Cleveland Browns became an expansion team after the Baltimore Ravens, former Browns, moved to Cleveland. So if nothing else, the fans in Cleveland will be fired up because nonetheless they will always hate the Baltimore Ravens, who were formerly the Browns, for leaving and have been a much more successful team in Baltimore with a couple Super Bowl championships and a consistent team with John Harbaugh at coach than the Cleveland Browns. Baltimore favored on the road by 8.5. We're going to take a quick break and come back and break down a couple more of the games on this weekend's NFL slate right after this. Fantasy Sports Friday on HealthyLife.net.
Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Everybody down! Dwayne Johnson here. The earthquakes you see in movies are one thing, but real life is a completely different animal. Just because you can't predict an earthquake doesn't mean that you can't prepare for one. In the event of a real earthquake, you should drop, cover, and hold on. Visit ready.gov/earthquake and practice what to do to keep you and your family safe in the event of a real earthquake, and you'll be seen as a hero by your family and your loved ones.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
And we are back. Fantasy Sports Friday here on HealthyLife.net Radio. I'm Jay Cruz. If you missed some of the earlier part of the show, you can always re-listen to it. Go into the podcast on-demand link on the HealthyLife.net homepage. You can also check out the show from last week with our Friday morning host, Sharky Zartman, and myself. So we left off at the Indianapolis Colts visiting the Houston Texans, both teams with winning records. Texans coming off a bit of a loss last week to the Green Bay Packers, which was a pretty close competitive game. Indianapolis with Joe Flacco at quarterback. I think Anthony Richardson is scheduled to start this coming week against the Houston Texans. Now, the Texans are a little bit ahead of schedule. Last year they had C.J. Stroud, who was like the second pick overall in the draft, and rookie coach, former 49ers defensive coach DeMarco Ryans, who had been an early member of the Houston Texans when they were an expansion team back in the 1990s. Well, rookie of the year and coach of the year, those two guys had a great season, got the Texans into the playoffs and a victory. They will host the Indianapolis Colts. Again, I think Anthony Richardson is slated to start. They have Joe Flacco on the bench. Houston's favored by 5. Typically, for whatever reason, when the AFC South teams play, games end up being much closer than anticipated. So that is the last game in the morning window coming up Sunday. In the afternoon, the L.A. Chargers will host the New Orleans Saints. You never know if there'll be more Saints fans than Charger fans. Of the, you know, Chargers just haven't really lit L.A. on fire quite yet, nor have the Rams. You know, the Chargers were from San Diego originally, and think the majority of their real fans still come up from San Diego to watch Charger games. There's a handful of people like myself who might be like, hey, we got a new team. Let's go check them out. And then, you know, for the past 30 years with no NFL franchise in Los Angeles, everybody else seemed to adopt another team. New England Patriots were quite popular for a while, of course, as champions will be. 49ers quite popular as they are a West Coast team and, you know, one of the closer teams with St. Louis hosting the Rams. Nonetheless, the Chargers with Jim Harbaugh definitely have a new attitude and a little bit of stuff to look forward to. Maybe an actual identity that I don't think they've had since the 70s when they were known as Air Coryell, with Coach Don Coryell and quarterback Dan Fouts and a high-flying, powerful offense that they had. Chargers have been to one Super Bowl in team history where they did lose that Super Bowl, Super Bowl 29, to the Steve Young-led San Francisco 49ers. So they haven't had any really big signature wins in quite some time. Jim Harbaugh, he's got the Midas touch everywhere he's been. He's turned teams around. He started his coaching career at University of San Diego. He helped turn them around. Then he got hired at Stanford. You know, Stanford's a great school to go to, but they have a great athletic program, but football had sort of been their least performing sport. Well, Harbaugh turned them around and took a 1-10 team to couple big bowl games. And right up the street, the 49ers were noticing this and gave him a call. He came in and turned the 49ers around, got them to a Super Bowl, which they did lose when he coached against his brother Jim of the Baltimore Ravens. They had a great rivalry with Pete Carroll of the Seattle Seahawks, a continuation of the USC-Stanford rivalry that Harbaugh and Pete Carroll had shared. New Orleans Saints coming into town. They're without quarterback Derek Carr, who has an oblique injury. They have two wide receivers out. In fact, their game last week, it definitely showed. Without the rookie quarterback and without the offense, as Denver made short work of the Saints last Thursday night. So they are a little more well-rested coming in, and the Chargers have a bit of a short week. They play Arizona on Monday night and actually lost that game. Although they probably should have won, it was considered a game the Chargers should win. Either way, Chargers are 3-3. The Saints are 2-5. And L.A. is favored by 7 points. We'll see how Coach Harbaugh turns things around in a game they should win against a team without a... Well, they got a rookie quarterback, Spencer Rattler, who has potential, but doesn't really have anyone of note to throw to. So, strong advantage for the Chargers. The Seattle Seahawks will host the Buffalo Bills on Sunday. Buffalo is favored by 3 on the road. The Seahawks 4-3. Their last game, I think, was a loss to the 49ers last Thursday. So, where did they play last week? I believe they did. Either way, Seahawks are 4-3 and atop the NFC West, which is a bit of a surprise considering they're in a bit of a rebuilding year. Buffalo just acquired Amari Cooper, wide receiver from the Cleveland Browns. Of course, Stephon Diggs was traded to the Texans in the offseason, and Buffalo seemed pretty happy to only move on from Stephon Diggs, who started getting the prima donna wide receiver syndrome, and as wide receivers think they're open every play, think they should be thrown to all the time, think they're more important than they actually are, although they do contribute quite greatly to teams. Nonetheless, Amari Cooper, probably an upgrade over Stephon Diggs, and this will be Cooper's fourth team. He was originally drafted by the Raiders, got traded to the Cowboys, then the Cleveland Browns, and the Browns stink on ice, so they're already looking at next year, and were able to pull off a trade with Buffalo. This is going to be an interesting game. Buffalo is, you know, trying to get to the top of the AFC. Of course, they have their sights on Kansas City and knocking them off the perch. Seattle, you know, new team, new coach without Pete Carroll, and are currently 4-3. And Seattle's a tough place to go and play. No matter who you are and where you're from, it's a long road trip, and it's kind of isolated up there, and the weather can be interesting. Although Buffalo is used to bad weather, they're from Buffalo. This will be an interesting game Sunday in the 1 o'clock window. Now, I haven't checked on the latest status for Washington Commanders rookie Jaden Daniels. He's one of my favorite players in the league right now. He's a rookie, number 2 draft pick. And the Chicago Bears, Washington's opponent this week, has Caleb Williams out of USC. Williams was the number 1 pick and had pretty much been slotted to be the number 1 pick for about 2 seasons. Both these quarterbacks are the last 2 Heisman Trophy winners. Caleb Williams 2 years ago won it with USC. Last year, Jaden Daniels at LSU won the Heisman Trophy. They were the 1 and 2 selections in the draft. And Jaden Daniels had a bit of a rib injury from last week's game. In fact, missed much of the game. He was knocked out against Carolina, of all teams. But the Commanders went on to win that game like 40-7. Marcus Mariota came in and did quite well for Washington. He's a bit of a journeyman now in the league and has been around for a little while and certainly came in and helped the Commanders do well. They are quite the surprising team at 5-2. New coach Dan Quinn getting back to the head coach seat. He made his bones as a defensive coordinator, made big strides as the defensive coordinator with the Seattle Seahawks when the Richard Sherman Legion of Boom days, when they won a Super Bowl and then went to another Super Bowl, which eventually lost that one to the Patriots. And Dan Quinn was coaching the Cowboys defense, and this year became the Washington Commanders' new head coach. And of all the teams I've watched that have improved, I would say the Commanders might be the most improved team on the young season so far. Obviously, Jaden Daniels is a special player. The only drawback to Daniels right now is that he likes to run a lot, and the situation with running quarterbacks are eventually going to get hit, and when you get hit, the more times the chances of an injury increase. So not sure if he'll be playing. That was kind of a questionable, doubtful situation. Hopefully he does and is healthy enough to play. It would be a lot of fun to see these two quarterbacks and lead their teams against each other. Chicago at 4-2, Washington at 5-2. Chicago a little more rested coming in with the week off after a game in London. So the Bears are actually favored by 3 on the road. I'm sure that has everything to do with Jaden Daniels' status. Although I tell you, Washington is my surprise team this year. Each year I kind of pick a new team to be the surprise up-and-coming team. Last year it was Detroit that I picked, although that wasn't exactly a going out on a limb. But this year, by week 3, I was telling everyone the Commanders would be the team to watch, and it took a while for other people to buy in. I really like what Dan Quinn is doing with that team. I really like Jaden Daniels and what he's doing offensively. I hope he gets to play Sunday, Washington and Chicago. Now, back when Peyton Manning was still playing, these two teams met in the Super Bowl. I doubt either team will be close to the Super Bowl this year, although Denver is starting to turn things around. The Broncos are now 4-3. I think they're 4-1 in their last 5 games after starting 0-3. They take on the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers will be starting Bryce Young, who has been benched in favor of veteran backup Andy Dalton. Dalton got hurt last week against the Commanders. I'll have to go back and watch that game. 2 quarterbacks getting knocked out. Anyway, the Panthers are 1-6, taking on Denver. Denver is always a historically tough place to play. It's the Mile High City. Unless you live there, it's tough to kind of acclimate to the high altitude, and that takes away a little bit of strength, endurance, and if you live there and train in that area, as the Broncos do, they've had one of the best home field advantages throughout the years, even when the team has not been, top of the tables. They are starting to turn things around in Denver. Their quarterback, Bo Nix, out of Oregon, is starting to pay dividends for them, and Sean Payton, he's doing some good things and is getting that team to play together. Broncos are favored by 10.5 over the Panthers this weekend at home. The last team to defeat the Kansas City Chiefs was last year, Christmas Day, and that was the Las Vegas Raiders who beat the Chiefs on the road. It's interesting, when NFL teams play a holiday game, the road team typically does a little better than the home team. Now, I have a theory on that. the road team is away from family, away from friends, but it's just them. It's the team playing on the road against the opponent. Now, the home team, they've got family, they've got they've got presents, they've got kids. You know, it's Christmas Day. So there's Christmas Day things going on, and, you know, it might be easy to overlook an opponent, especially when you're the Super Bowl champion Chiefs, as they did last year with the Raiders, who were, you know, trying to turn things around last year, going down the stretch, and had a very good game on Christmas Day. Well, the Raiders, who are always looking to turn things around, are 2-5 so far in this young season. They signed quarterback Desmond Ridder off the Arizona Cardinals practice squad, mainly due to Aiden O'Connell, rookie from last year, who turned in an okay performance down the stretch last year, helping to win 5 games for the Raiders and coach Antonio Pierce, and helping him keep that job. So, the Raiders are probably more fired up to win this game than the Chiefs, although Chiefs are no one to mess with. They have long memories. And this is a long-time NFL-AFL rivalry. The Chiefs are just, they're the best team in the league right now. Even with a number of injuries and setbacks they've had, Chiefs are favored by 9.5. I don't see the Raiders pulling this off, but stranger things have happened. Sunday night on NBC, a couple of classic teams who are desperate to turn things around. The 49ers, last year's Super Bowl losers to the Chiefs in overtime, have come out of the gate at 3-4. Everyone's been injured. Christian McCaffrey, their number one running back, hasn't played this year. He had two Achilles injuries, high ankle sprains. Brandon Ayuk, who held out, is now out for the season due to an injury. And just about 4 or 5 other players have been dinged up. Deebo Samuel, Juwan Jennings. The healthiest wide receiver is Ricky Pearsall, a rookie who was ironically shot in the chest in an attempted robbery just before the season started. That guy's lucky to be alive. But he's able to play football. A miracle in that incident did not do more damage to him. It apparently went through him and did not hit any vital organs. As someone was trying to rob him for a Rolex watch in the city of San Francisco, which used to be safe. Just saying. 49ers and Dallas Cowboys have had a long NFC rivalry going back to the 60s and 70s, all the way through the 80s and 90s, and that'll be your Sunday night game. Last year when they played, the 49ers blew out the Cowboys. Don't know if that's going to happen, because they're not as strong as they were last year. Both teams are kind of around the 500 record. The Cowboys are 3-3, Niners are 3-4, and hosting that game Sunday. And the Monday night game will be the Pittsburgh Steelers and New York Giants, a couple of organizations that are kind of tied together, old family friends, franchises that have been around for a long time. Russell Wilson looked pretty good last week against the New York Jets in his first start of the season, and maybe that time in Denver was just an anomaly. He seems to be much more comfortable with the Steelers, with a coach who believes in him. Steelers favored by 6 over the Giants on Monday night. That's going to wrap up Fantasy Sports Friday today and for this week. Enjoy the World Series, enjoy football, and good luck to your teams. I'm Jay Cruz, signing off till next Friday for Fantasy Sports Friday on HealthyLife.net.